thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying all the songs, along with the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. I'll wait for you. You Too and With or Without You. Thanks for joining us on the Happy Hour today. Holly and Paulina here with you for the next hour with the best tips on keeping happy. And today's show is all about sleep. So what's on the menu, Paulina?
Well, I'll be speaking with charity Sleep Scotland and finding out about their work in improving sleep, of course. We'll get some tips for a good night's rest as well, have a nice sensory exercise and listen in to that quiet soundscape to help us relax. And we'll also hear about an app that means we can doze off peacefully when listening to our favorite audiobook and not worry about losing our space in the story.
A lot of great stuff coming up, and we'll keep this sleepy theme going with some more relaxing tunes this week, like this one.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Now, there's nothing better than a good night's rest. But what should we do if sleep doesn't come easily to us and we're left tossing and turning through the night? Well, perhaps UK's oldest sleep charity could help. Alison O'Brien is Head of Sleep Services at Sleep Scotland, and she joins us on the line. And now, Alison, it is lovely having you on the Happy Hour today.
Thank you for having me.
So, UK's oldest charity with a focus on sleep. That's quite unique. How long has your organisation been around?
Yeah, so next year we'll have been around for 25 years. Bit of a big anniversary for us. And it's something that, sleep is something that we've been so passionate about that whole 2.5 decades. And we really think that people need to see sleep as something that's just as important as eating well and getting enough exercise.
Yeah, because that's the thing people forget. Getting a good night's rest, a good night's sleep can be so beneficial to our health. And when we don't get it, it can actually be very detrimental as well.
Absolutely, both to our physical health and our mental health. There's been research and studies all across the world that just show getting a good night's sleep, getting good quality sleep, can make such a difference to your health and well-being.
So would you mind telling us a little bit about the work you do? Because you work with a varied group of projects.
Yes, absolutely. So when we were first set up, we exclusively worked with children and adolescents with additional support needs. And that has been the majority of our work for the time that we've existed. So we do that through training courses. So we'll train up professionals working in the statutory sector, NHS staff, people working in schools, social workers, etc., so that they can put in place behavioural changes with children to get a better night's sleep. Everything we do is based on research backed, about changes to behaviours that can help us learn or relearn to sleep well. We also have a telephone support line, which is for families living in Scotland to help with sleep issues for their children. And that's for any child living in Scotland over 18 months. So they don't have to have a diagnosis of anything to get support from us. More recently, we've started introducing training courses for people working with adults. And this is something that has come about because more and more we're getting contacted by adults saying, well, it's all good and well that you work with children, but actually I'm not sleeping and I'm really struggling. And so often good sleep education is key to being able to get a good night's sleep. So that's something we've been working on more recently. We also have a specialist training for schools so that schools can teach young people in school about sleep so they can take a little bit control and ownership over their own sleep. So it's quite varied, but it all comes down to the more we know about sleep, the more likely we are to be able to get a better night's sleep.
So you mentioned that a lot of your work is pretty much based in research and scientific findings. So I'm curious, has there been any research done that looks at sleep and sight loss, for example?
Yes, absolutely. There's research that indicates that around 83% of people with a severe visual impairment actually will experience sleep issues as a result, mainly due to the fact that it can be more difficult to distinguish night from day, which is so essential when we are trying to get a good night's sleep. And what that does is it affects our internal mechanism, which is called our body clock or our circadian rhythm. And the disruption of that actually is what causes sleep issues in many people with vision loss.
Okay, that absolutely makes sense. So one of the things I actually saw when I was learning a little bit about your work was you've also been working with employers lately to kind of help employers be a bit more aware of sleep hygiene and how to support their staff in that as well.
Yes, absolutely. That's a relatively new project. But again, it's something that we think more people are becoming more aware of how important sleep is for their health and well-being, and that actually it's all good and well eating a balanced diet and getting lots of exercise, but if you're not sleeping enough at night, you're not getting the benefit of that. So most of that project is training that people can take in order to improve their own knowledge about sleep and also get some ideas for getting a better night's sleep.
I'm a bit curious. You mentioned that you've obviously seen an increase in adults getting in touch. Have you noticed such an increase during the pandemic? Because I know mental health has really plummeted during that time. And I imagine working from home and not having that space to relax and not really having space to separate your bedroom probably wasn't that great for sleep either.
Absolutely. I think from the day we went into lockdown, we had started seeing an increase from all ages, children and adults. Exactly as you say, their routines have gone out of kilter. They're not getting access to the activities they were doing. They're maybe having to do things in work in their bedroom or do schooling in their bedroom when they weren't doing that before. Not getting as much exercise, not getting that social interaction, which actually is quite important for our day as well. Maybe not eating as well because they're not wanting to go to the shop as much, so they're not having as much fresh fruit and vegetables. All of this kind of accumulated to increased sleep issues. And then you've got the general anxiety that came with living through a pandemic that we've all experienced, this collective sort of trauma that we've experienced, and people are generally feeling a lot more anxious. And one of the worst things for sleep, one of the things that most likely will mean that you won't get a good night's sleep, is if you're feeling anxious.
So obviously you have to address the anxiety and the sleep together. It becomes a bit of a tough thing to tackle, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. I think so often when people think, oh, I should do something about my sleep, they think they only think about the sleep. But actually, when we're looking at sleep, we're looking at every aspect of your life, your routine, the time that you get up in the morning, what you're eating, when you're eating, how much activity you're getting, how much exercise you're getting, what you're doing and when in the day will all contribute to whether or not you get a good night's sleep that night.
So everything you told us, it all sounds fantastic. And obviously there's a really easy way to get in touch with you. It's either to your website or you have a helpline as well. So would you mind giving us all those details?
Yes. So our website is sleepscotland.org. And anyone looking for advice for a child and you're living in Scotland, they would contact us via email, which is sleepsupport@sleepscotland.org. And one of the team will get back to you to discuss your options.
Alison, it's been fantastic speaking with you today and learning a little bit more about sleep and how it can contribute to our health.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
Now, Alison will be back later on the Happy Hour to share her top tips for a better night's rest.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
It's the Happy Hour with Holly and Paulina. I don't know about you, but sleep is something I have struggled with for so many years, particularly in my teenage years, and it's continued into adulthood. So I want to ask you, have you got any top tips for getting a good night's sleep that I could maybe make use of?
It really depends. So something for me that I know I absolutely cannot do because I'll have a broken sleep is I can't drink caffeinated drinks really late in the day. So are you a tea drinker? You don't drink tea, do you?
No, I don't drink tea or coffee. I'm a hot chocolate girl. I mean, I don't have that late in the day. I try not to have any fizzy drinks or any caffeinated beverages late in the day either because... it's a no-no, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something like my mom. She can have a cup of coffee at like 9 p.m., 8 p.m. She's fine. I will fall asleep and then wake up 3 hours later and be wide awake, like meow, eyes open, can't sleep. So I don't just avoid any coffee, any like soft drinks, fizzy drinks, like you said. But yeah, what would be your top tip for sleeping?
I think mine would be sticking to a routine as much as possible. I know there are cases when it can completely go out the window. It can be really tempting to stay up late on a weekend because you're watching a film or a TV show. But I do try and stick to a routine as much as I can because I think my body just knows when it's bedtime and then when it's time to get up and kind of just, I guess, keeps that rhythm and avoids any confusion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just makes it a bit easier. I think it's the same sort of thing where if you want to go to sleep earlier, it's more about, because you want to wake up earlier, it's more about waking up early no matter how late you slept. So you're kind of gradually shifting your body to wake up at like 6 a.m. The more you do it, the earlier you'll get tired and your body will naturally readjust to the wake up time rather than forcing yourself to sleep early.
I think the thing to remember, like you said, is it has to be something that's gradual. You can't just say, right, I'm going to start this routine now. It has to be a process for you and your body.
Yeah, but you know what? We're not the experts. We're going to have Alison come back later on the show. She'll share some of her best tips for a really nice good night's rest. But we do have something else coming up on the Happy Hour just in a moment.
Yeah, coming up after Berlin, we'll be hearing about Sleep When I Sleep, which is an app developed with audiobook readers in mind.
I'm Gary McDowell, based in Belfast. And I'm a chartered surveyor. The problem that I addressed was falling asleep listening to audiobooks and podcasts. With my work, I was travelling extensively throughout Ireland. We had a number of big projects in Limerick, which necessitated me travelling for 4 hours by train to get there and 4 hours back again. So I started listening to audiobooks, but unfortunately, I kept falling asleep. And rather frustratingly, I couldn't find my place. Where I'd fallen asleep in the story, and as a consequence, I stopped downloading audiobooks. And since then, I found that this is a major problem for the majority of people who listen to audio. I happened to be talking to a colleague regarding the problem, and I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was an app that would address this? And he said, I know someone who could do that for you. So very quickly, from just having the idea or recognizing the problem, I found myself involved in actually developing an app to address the issue. And we were able to bring the app to launch. It's very, very simple to use. When you download the app, it downloads onto the iPhone. At the moment, we only have an iOS version, but we will bring out an Android version in due course. But you download it on the phone, it also automatically loads onto your Apple Watch. And once you have it downloaded on the phone, you don't need to access the app on your phone again. Everything happens from the watch. You can activate it by voice control, or you can press the little icon on the watch face, open the app, and you're presented with a button. And the button quite simply is start. Now, once you start it, It then does everything else automatically. Through the health data, it calculates the point at which it believes that you are falling asleep. And when it detects that, it will give you a tap through the haptic in the watch, and it will also send you a written message again on the watch face. Now, if you don't dismiss it, if you are falling asleep, it will automatically pause the playback and you can then restart from where you fell asleep. It solves the problem, as I say, of not losing your place. If you do dismiss it, if you feel that you're not falling asleep, and whenever we've been testing this, we have always found that it has been pretty accurate in that I certainly have always been falling asleep. And if I dismiss it, I have found that that it then continues on and I fall asleep and it doesn't pause, because what it does is it resets or recalibrates the point at which it believes that you're falling asleep. So, as I say, we have found that it is very accurate, very reliable. If you don't dismiss it, it will simply pause the playback, and it works very efficiently. It will work with any type of audio provided it is played through the iPhone. We even used it, I was in the developer's offices, and we linked it to the Apple television and it worked on it as well. But as I say, provided that it's through the iPhone. You can also do it through your smart speaker, but again, provided that you're playing it through the smart speaker from your iPhone. At the moment, as I say, we have a version in iOS, which is Apple, but we will bring out an Android version so that it'll work with Samsung and the other technologies. But originally, we thought we'd get it up and operating and running with Apple, and then we'd bring out the other version in due course. When I recognized the problem, I recalled that my father, who was registered blind, had also complained of the same issue and frustration when he was listening to audio playback. Now, unfortunately, my father passed about 20 years ago, so the technology that he was using at that time was obviously very different. I think he used a Daisy audio player or tape player, which obviously the tapes were posted out to him by RNIB. And he complained of exactly the same issues. The onloading is obviously very important, that it's compliant with VoiceOver, that it all works efficiently. And I've been assured by the developer, again, that it is compliant. And the app is available now in the App Store, and it's free to use for 7 days. So anybody who wants to test it is very, very welcome to do so. Download it, test it for the 7 days, and hopefully then subscribe to buy it for $4.99 per annum. And seeing something produced from an idea suddenly coming through to something that you actually have succeeded in developing, I've got to say, really does give me a buzz. Well, I think it would make an awful lot of sense for it to be available on the likes of Audible along with Sleep Timer. Certainly, I think it's a much better solution than Sleep Timer, which I don't like using. We'll wait and see. Certainly, if Audible want to talk to me, I'd be very happy to hear from them. They can come back to us directly through the website, www.sleepwhenisleep.com.
Gary McDowell, creator of the Sleep When I Sleep app. You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. We still have some tips for a better night's sleep to come, and of course, this month's Sensory Odyssey exercise.
I'm gonna pick up the pieces and build a Lego house. If things go wrong, we can knock it down. My three words have two meanings, but there's one thing on my mind.
Ed Sheeran and a Lego house on RNIB Connect Radio. And of course, it's the happy hour with Paulina and Holly. And Holly, we're talking a lot about sleep. So of course, I had to dig out a weird sleep fact for you. So I do have one right now, right here in front of me.
Go for it.
So apparently, scientists and researchers don't actually agree on the reasoning for why we dream. Like, obviously we need to rest, but they don't really know why we get vivid, really elaborate dreams and what's the purpose of getting them.
That's so interesting. I've never really thought about the science behind any of this, but I guess people are actually researching it every day, aren't they?
I mean, I always thought, well, we sleep because we rest, but I'm guessing they mean they don't really know why our dreams get so weird or why they get so specific, which, you know, brings me to the obvious question. What is the weirdest dream you've ever had?
Do you know what? Honestly, I don't actually know. I'm not really one to have any weird dreams or anything. I feel like it's just based on my boring life, like day-to-day events or what happens. But yeah, I don't think there's been anything specifically weird. I do kind of wish I was one of those people that would have really interesting, like, dream stories to share, but I don't actually think I do, you know.
No witches, no monsters.
No, I think when I was little, I maybe dreamt about a monster being under my bed. I think I remember having a bit of a spell where, at the time, I kept thinking that there was like monsters or whatever under my bed, but nothing since that, which I'm quite disappointed now.
I mean, I don't know if you're missing out on much. I had my weirdest dream ever, and that happened when I was, I think, I want to say 7 or 8, was I was a potato going on a big conveyor belt to be turned into some chips.
I mean, you're a fan of food, so it kind of goes.
I know, I remember it being very vivid and very much being like, not that I'm like scared, more like, I don't want to be fries.
No, you want to be the really nice, delicious chips you get in a pub.
Yeah, like good ones. Not like a skinny french fry. I want to be like a really nice chunky deep fry chip shop. No fry.
No fry, absolutely chips.
I'm starting to sound delirious. Right, Holly, we have something coming up now. Just save me.
Yeah, let's move on to some tips because clearly me and Paulina need some, or at least Paulina does. So it's time to chat sleep tips. Returning to share her knowledge, it's once again Alison.
Hi, I'm Alison. I'm from Sleep Scotland, and here are some tips for getting a better night's sleep. The first one would be to have a consistent routine all day as well as the evening. Many people will always focus on their bedtime and the run-up to bedtime, but actually the time we get up in the morning is just as important as the time we go to sleep. Making sure that our day is filled with lots of activity, that we're eating enough during the day. All of this can help contribute to a good night's sleep and feel ready for bed when it does come to bedtime. The next one I would say is thinking about winding down before sleep. It's very difficult for our body and our brain to go from being very active to suddenly lying in bed, closing our eyes and going to sleep. So really thinking about the hour before bedtime, getting as relaxed as possible, doing something calming that you find relaxing, maybe reading a book or doing some crafts, even drawing can be quite useful, maybe having a warm bath, then getting yourself into bed, listening to some quiet music, and then switching off to go to sleep. The next one I would suggest would be keeping your bedroom for sleep as much as possible. A lot of people do other things in their bedrooms. Many people, especially if they're working at home, might work in their bedroom. And what this means is their brain doesn't associate it with somewhere that they sleep. So what you want is a room that you very much consider, this is the place that I sleep. So you want to avoid eating in there. You want to avoid working in there. You want it to be a space that you, when you go into it, your body and your brain thinks, this is the place that I go to sleep. A good thing to consider is temperature in the room. It might feel quite cold to some people, but between 16 and 18 degrees is actually the ideal amount, the ideal temperature for sleeping. So having that through the night as much as possible. If you find you wake up in the night quite warm, it could be that changing your bedding or your bedclothes can make a difference to help you stay asleep. It's worth knowing that we all wake through the night naturally. Hopefully what happens is you turn over and go back to sleep and don't even know you're awake. But particularly adults, as we get older, that night wakening can last longer and longer. So even just knowing that that's the case can be quite helpful. What you want to think about if you're awake and you were awake for longer is think about, how can I relax? Focus on rest rather than sleep. So maybe have some sort of relaxation technique or visualization that you can do, or breathing exercises to help you get back to sleep and not start thinking too much about the day ahead or things that you're worried about that might distract you. And then the last one I would say is work out how much sleep you actually need. A lot of the time we hear about getting 8 hours of sleep, but some adults will need 7 hours, some will need up to 9 hours. Some might need even a little bit less than that or a little bit more, and that's okay. You might have a different amount of sleep that you need than somebody else the exact same age as you, and that is totally normal for you. So don't stress too much about, oh, I should be getting 8 hours, but I'm only getting seven. If you're feeling rested and you're feeling like you've had enough sleep, then maybe you are just somebody who only needs 7 hours sleep. So trying to work out how much sleep you need to actually feel rested at the end of the day is much more important than trying to get some magic number. And they would be my top tips for getting a good night's sleep from Sleep Scotland.
Thanks, Alison. And we'll be tuning in to the natural silence in a moment on the Happy Hour. That's after Faith Hill.
Hi, it's Andy Shipley of Natural Inclusion here. Welcome to August's guided exercise from my 14-day sensory odyssey. So far, we've spent time noticing the presence of sounds, smells, and sensations around us. But in this exercise, we're going to focus our attention to the backdrop to all these sensations. When I place my awareness between the sounds that punctuate my surroundings, I notice a vast expanse of quietness which makes me feel very peaceful inside when I focus on it.
Welcome to day 6 of my 14-day sensory odyssey, extending to the edges and beyond. Close your eyes, allowing your weight to sink towards the ground, feeling gravity's pull. Now let your attention drift down through your body, through your legs, through your ankles and into your feet, imagining roots emerging from the soles of your feet, penetrating the earth and extending and intertwining into the network of roots and fungal threads that are interlaced just beneath the earth's surface. Notice how connected you feel. Held in place, part of the land and the wide, round earth. Now expand your attention to the horizon. Notice the sounds you can hear in all directions, above, in front, and behind. notice any smells that might be wafting on the breeze that could have come from a long way away? Now see if you can focus your attention beyond the horizon. Focusing on the background to all of you can hear or can smell. Just see if you can tune into that. Now bring your attention back to your roots, still holding you in firm connection to the land, in your own time, unravel them from the roots and fungal threads and withdraw them back into your feet. In your own time, slowly open your eyes. Repeat this as often as you like and take as long as you like to do it. The more time spent focusing your attention, the greater you'll become aware of the soundscape and sensory scape around you.
I hope you enjoyed this exercise. Like all the guided exercises in my program, the more you repeat them, the more you'll notice about nature and yourself. As usual, there'll be another Sensory Reflections online session, which is on the 25th of August, which you can look out for on my Natural Inclusion Facebook page. And you can find out more about my work on my website, www.natural-inclusion.org. Until the next time, stay sensational.
And that's it for today's happy hour. Thanks so much for keeping Paulina and I company. Remember, you can listen back to all our episodes by searching for RNIB Happy Hour Podcast on your favourite podcasting platform.
Now today's sleepy happy hour episode draws to an end, and we're going to leave you with a nice track, which is quite slow, and it's also all about love.
We absolutely don't mind if you sway a little bit.
So enjoy the song, and we'll see you on the happy hour next week.
Bye.
Bye. You are listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour long show. If you've enjoyed the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, thank you for listening to the Happy Hour podcast.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.